You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and time is exactly 9 o'clock, and co-hosting Wayne Magyar is Vice President and Chief of
Staff.
Good
morning. Nice to see you.
Loyola University. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. You ready for the big game this weekend?
Next Sunday. Giants.
Who do you have?
And Patriots.
What's the spread? Tell us about it.
New England Patriots favored by 3, but I'll tell you, this Giants team could be a repeat of 07 or the Packers of last year. I think it'll be a good game. But yeah. I was actually hoping for San Francisco and Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And but I mean, the Super Bowl, it's actually become, you know what people don't realize is that back in Super Bowl I, 1967, there were about 25,000 empty seats.
Really?
For Super Bowl
I. I did not know that.
It was Green Bay.
See how educational this program
Kansas
is.
Kansas City. So enough of the sports report. We'll do weather a little bit later on. So you have a good weekend, Wayne?
Yeah, I did. How about you?
Same. We're busy with the parish and wonderful things happening in St. Mary's. So we have a great program lined up today. During Catholic Community of Faith, we will visit with Catholics who are putting together and promoting Parish Leadership Day that takes place on Saturday, February 18th. In the last half, we'll have a talented parish leader will connect the practice of yoga with Catholic spirituality and belief. So with us in studio the first half hour, Rita Katner, the director of the Office for Councils, Bill Attia, a member of the PR Committee for Parish Leadership Day, who's also a member of St. Catherine Laboure in Glenview, and Dominic Clemente, a senior at St. Joseph College Seminary of Loyola University, who will present a workshop at Parish Leadership Day and also provide music during lunch. So to Rita and Bill and Dominic, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's nice to have a young guy here, Wayne, seminarian.
Thank you.
I've got
I got
shoes older than Dominic. And well, Rita, tell us about the history of Parish Leadership Day, which comes up on Saturday, February 18th.
Well, Leadership Day got started in 1984, and we started it because it was a real need for parishes to understand where the church was on a lot of different issues, also how to be effective council members. So, and we've grown. The first year we had a little under 200 people, and we're up to about 1,700 at this time.
The first year was about 200 back in 84. And how many years have you been directly involved with Parish Leadership Day?
Always.
Have you been from day one?
Yeah.
From the beginning.
I started it from the beginning.
This
is your... this will be like the 29th year in a row then.
You know, except that we, for 3 years that we had the Festival of Faith, those years we wouldn't have it. Mm. So we probably are 26 years.
So besides size, how has it changed?
Oh, the number of workshops, the involvement of people, the opportunity to last since Cardinal George is here, he has added a conversation with him. He, at lunchtime, people have an opportunity to talk to their cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he really likes that a lot. They like it. It's always one of the hits.
I hear it's one of the most popular parts of the whole day is just a real frank discussion. The questions are asked,
definitely.
And Cardinal Francis George does not skirt the answers.
He does not. No, he enjoys that. And this year he added on, since we're really promoting the Year of the Youth and Young Adults, he's going to have a special session just for them.
Bill Attia, how do you get the word out?
Well, that's difficult through Relevant Radio and through letters to parishes. We just sent the letters to about 40 or 50 youth directors, youth ministers throughout the north suburbs. And that's one of the big focuses, as Rita said. This year, we are focusing on youth and young adults. We're encouraging parishes to bring their young people so that they can come back and be more effective members in the local parishes. A number of programs are being scheduled just for youth. I sort of like the one that says, "What Would Jesus Facebook?" Which is a session. Another session is a teen-friendly parish. We have another session to discuss the church's need for you. Come bearing your gifts. But there's close to 30 workshops just for youth and young adults, and that's one of the important fields that we feel for this year's Leadership Day.
And youth and young adults, I think when we think of that group, we think of a youth ministry group within a parish. It's much broader than that, and they're involved in all kinds of ways, young people, in the life of their faith communities, right, Rita?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, they're involved in many ways. And you know what? The other part is to encourage parishes to say we have to look at those. Because there's a lot of complaints. I go out to councils all the time, and I hear the complaint all the time that we can't get the young people to church. We don't see any teens at church.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we want to wake people up, you know, say, and that's why the Year of the Youth with the strategic plan.
That's right. And also then Dominic Clemente, who happens to be a senior at the College Seminary of the Archdiocese, St. Joseph College Seminary of Loyola University. First of all, Dominic, is this your fourth year at the college seminary? You started as a freshman?
No, this is actually my second year at the college seminary. I was in a community college as a speech and theater major for a year and a half.
Okay, and the thing that I realize is Parish Leadership Day, but I think our people would be interested is, how did you come to the idea of possibly being a priest for the Archdiocese? Because it's a long road, mm-hmm. because after your days at St. Joe's Seminary, you move on to the Theologate, mm-hmm. Mundelein Seminary. So here you were. Where'd you go to high school, by the way?
I went to St. Patrick High School.
Wayne. I went to Notre Dame High School.
Oh, Father.
Oh, Dominic. We did not like you in sports.
Oh, no.
You did not like us.
No.
But, you know, kidding aside, St. Patrick is an outstanding, excellent,
it's just good
tremendous
thing that you didn't
school.
Say, Brother Rice, or we'd show you the door.
That was a big rivalry for Wayne.
Oh, were we at St. Rita's?
St. Lawrence.
Okay.
There's the door. Hey,
we're going to go to a break here and have Dominic leave. No, Michael, I'm kidding. And that, but no, how'd you come to the whole idea of possibly priesthood in your life?
Well, for me, I first felt a call when I was in about seventh grade. I went to St. Celestine Parish School, and I just didn't want to be a priest then. And it wasn't until I got to college and I started my theater classes. My dream was to be a Broadway producer, actually. And taking those classes, you know, I really didn't feel like I was doing what the Lord had called me to do. I wasn't using my gifts properly. And I've been fortunate enough to always have the gift of faith. You know, I really cherish my faith. And through high school, I was extremely involved in my parish, in our youth group, in parish activities. And I brought that to prayer when I was in college, and I realized that the Lord was still calling me to priesthood, and if that is what he gave me my gifts to do, then that's what I should do.
That is marvelous. That's interesting where your interest, pursue, background was for maybe being Broadway and musicals and all mm-hmm. that, and theater. Mine was radio and television for sports casting.
Oh, wow.
Before I decided to enter the seminary, and so in some ways, similar backgrounds with communications, but we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the program.
Sure.
Rita, you're going to say something?
No, Dominic, so you're going to be at the leadership event and doing a presentation on what? Tell us.
The name of the workshop is called Faith Wrap. It's actually going to be led by myself and three of my brothers at St. Joe's,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about how youth can evangelize their faith with their peers as well as those that might be older or younger than themselves. So how they can share their faith, how they can actively try to help bring their own peers back to the faith or back to church, considering that it is Parish Leadership Day, so youth that are leaders in their parish will be there, hopefully, so that we can show them how they can be
stewards. So it'll be then you along with three of your seminarian classmates?
Two are freshmen and one is a junior. So
that
not my exact classmates, but...
But again, young men with you at the college seminary.
Right.
And the thing is now, Rita, with the way the day is laid out is, can someone come to part of the day if they could not commit to the whole day?
Sure. We always welcome anybody. If they want to come for part of the day, fine. Sometimes people do come. They say, I'm only going to stay for a little while, but they end up staying for the whole day.
Yeah. Again, we'll get into details regarding location and how to get more information. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars. Our guests are Rita Katner, Bill Attia, and Dominic Clemente, talking about Parish Leadership Day on Saturday, February 18th will be held at Loyola Academy. And our phone number here, if you have any questions or comments, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
How can we attract and keep young people in the church?
What can we do to re-energize some of our ministries?
What does it mean to be a team-friendly parish?
How can we all work together effectively?
These questions and many others will be answered at this year's Parish Leadership Day on Saturday, February 18th at Loyola Academy in Wilmette. As we celebrate the Year of Teens and Young Adults, we encourage parish leaders to bring their active young Catholics to this exciting day-long event. There will be workshops in English, Spanish, and Polish, and many of these sessions are geared to our young Catholic leaders. As always, there will be a luncheon dialogue with Cardinal Francis George, and His Eminence will celebrate our closing Mass. For more information and to register, go to www.artchicago.org or call the Office for Councils at 312-534-8364. That's www.artchicago.org or call 312-534-8364. We hope to see you Saturday, February 18th for the best ever Parish Leadership Day.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit catholiccharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 911 in the morning on a Monday. I almost said Friday.
Now, why was that?
I almost said Friday. Well, I was in the office early this morning, you know, and it's tough being
So when the program ends, you're ready for dinner?
That's right, I am. Rita Kettner.
Arrived at 3 a.m.
Rita Kettner is our guest. She is the director for the Office for Councils for the Archdiocese, Bill Attia, a member of the Parish Leadership Day Public Relations Committee, and Dominic Clementi, who is a junior at St. Joseph Seminary, talking about the upcoming Parish Leadership Day, which is on the 18th of February, moving north. Go north, go north, go north to Loyola Academy, where the Jesuits hang out with plenty of parking, I hear, right? Plenty of parking up there. We'll talk more about that later. But Rita, we were talking during the break, when parishes send groups of either their parish council members or others to this particular workshop, there's a lot here, a lot of sessions, a lot of tracks, a lot of specific areas of focus that an individual parish can certainly benefit from. Talk a little bit about how a parish should really best utilize not only the resources of the conference, but also how best they ought to take their parish council participants and really kind of take advantage of the richness of the program.
We always encourage them to split up and go to several different workshops. So if you bring 10 people, go to 10 different workshops, because otherwise you narrow yourself down. Go to different ones. If they brought 10 people and they went to 10 different workshops in A session, B session, C session, they go home with 30 different new groups. We also, in the packet always, we give them a format to take that information back home to start using it in the parish. Because so often we go to events, we come back, nobody cares about what you learned. I want them to come back and share that, because that's what's going to help our parishes grow.
And also, I would imagine a tremendous networking opportunity to recognize that the challenges that you face in your parish, you're not alone.
Exactly. And they find that out a lot. I mean,
that's the key. You're not alone.
You're not alone. And many times I'm at a workshop or I'm at a parish, and people will tell me about the day that they went to call Leadership Day. Like, I never knew anything about it. which is okay with me, because I'm happy that they are enthused about what they learned and come back and use the material. That's what makes the difference in our parishes.
I think also in the Archdiocese of Chicago, an incredible diversity. And people have said when they've gone to Parish Leadership Day, the scope, the breadth of the Archdiocese is phenomenal. And to get the people under one roof from the north, from the south, from the west, east as far as the lake. And it's just the diversity is incredible, and it becomes a teaching moment. I know people from my parish, St. Mary's, last year came back and said they loved it, met so many new people. Yeah. And also the thing is interesting, maybe Billy can say about this, is when people leave Parish Leadership Day, there is an enthusiasm and a fire and a spark that it's a, it kind of sets people on fire. Am I right?
Absolutely, Father. And of course, one of the things that we haven't mentioned is that there's over 120 programs. So there's plenty of programs, and you talk about diversity. There's diversity in programs. There's diversity in languages of presentation. Some of the sessions are in Spanish. Some are in Polish. Most are obviously in English. In fact, the predominant amount are in English. And so, and the other thing that I don't think we've mentioned is that you also have an opportunity to celebrate Mass with Cardinal George at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And there are two sessions with the Cardinal, one for the general audience and one exclusively for young adults and youth.
And now, Bill, this is that question-answer period.
It's a dialogue.
It's a dialogue so that people are asking the questions.
Of the Cardinal.
And he's responding, and he's not afraid to take on any particular question.
He is very candid. Last year during the session, of course, this is the first year we're really embracing and encouraging youth to come. But the other thing is you talked about getting to know other people. We're hoping that this would be an opportunity for youth to realize that their interests and their engagement is a little different in every parish throughout the parish, and they can come back with a lot of ideas to enrich their own parish and to learn how to have intergenerational activities. We talked about the diversity. Two other sessions that are exclusively for youth. One is Millennials, Gen Xers, and Anti-Racism. And another one is What Matters, Who Matters, Relevancy, and Relationships. Mm. These are tied directly into what kids are talking about, and we hope that they can not only come and learn something, but that they can enrich the dialogue with their own thoughts. Yeah. We really like this to be interactive.
And Dominic, you mentioned earlier that you were immersed in your parish life when you were growing up.
Right.
You've got that experience. You've got the background, obviously, now of a couple of years, almost two full years at St. Joseph Seminary. What kind of questions do you hear from your peers when you start talking about the importance of, or the subject of, the importance of getting involved in and enlivening the faith life of a parish community? Questions of apprehensiveness, questions of their faith, questions of how do I get plugged into a good, healthy parish life? What do you hear out there? What's going on?
Well, the main thing that I hear is that a lot of my own peers feel that these parish councils and people that take part in their parish have to be married and an older generation, that my generation of young adults, people in their 20s or even teens, really don't have much of a say within their parish. They feel that their opinion, not that it doesn't matter, but that it's not a priority. Hopefully everyone's opinion matters within a parish, but I know from my own generation that it's our opinion isn't really seen as a priority, or it's just that's what our parents and grandparents.
So said another way, they don't see a meaningful role for the youth within a parish faith community as something
right.
that is influential.
Right. Yes.
That's really one of the reasons, Bill, why and Rita, why this is so important. This dimension of the workshop this year, because that's not good.
Well, I think along the same lines as that, though, and Dominic said something very important, is I think it's important to realize the youth are not the future of the church. They have an important role to play today, precisely as a freshman, as a senior, as a 15-year-old, and as a 19-year-old. We sometimes look at the youth and say, oh, they are the future of the church. In many ways, that's not true, because Dominic, I think you would agree that you have an important role to play with your peers today
right.
within the Catholic community.
Right. And how can you lead in the future if you don't know how to lead now, if no one's teaching
and
you
giving
now?
You the chance now?
Right.
You're going to say something, Bill.
Well, it's a very important point, very much like what you said, Father, a very important point that the youth of today are our church of today and our church of tomorrow. And that's something that many times we forget.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the upcoming Parish Leadership Day, which is on Saturday, February 18th up at Loyola Academy. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It's 919, and we'll be right back.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com. And sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back. Rita Kattner is our guest, along with Bill Attia and Dominic Clementi. We're talking about the upcoming Parish Leadership Day, 2012, Saturday, February 18th at Loyola Academy up in Wilmette, and the importance of an event like this for parish leadership councils that are active to various degrees in all parishes, doing various duties, assisting the pastor, enhancing the faith life of those various communities. And Rita, one of the comments that I made during the break was that when we talk about what this program does and its efforts to engage the youth better, is, as I recall, over the last several years hearing pitches for new members to parish leadership councils, rarely do you get the message, and especially for young people, this is not just for those who have been in the parish for 20 or 30 years or those who are over 65 and have a lot of free time, but we really want to encourage young people to become a part of this.
Definitely. I have to say that many of our parishes, the people don't realize that we really have to reach out to the entire parish. So we need to look at different age groups. I don't see a lot of young adults on the council, but I think we need to be moving on that. We have to look at that. This is their church as well. And we're looking at where are we moving our parishes. We have to look. Councils are around to help look at the signs of the time. That's why they were called for in Vatican II. They didn't just fall out, and they're not just supposed to keep repeating the same thing we've done this year, next year, next year. But in fact, to say, where do we want to go? What do we want to do? We talk about evangelizing our parishes. Our councils have to look at that issue.
And that's really an important part of what this is all about, in asking those probing questions that get councils out of the rut, if you will, of just doing the same thing over and over again.
That's why there's such a variety. And there's several on what a council even is. How do we do it? How does the staff work with the council?
Give us an example of maybe two or three workshops coming up this year that are really, for lack of a better description, cutting edge. And a parish council could really get a new refreshing dimension of or a new look at an old topic going forward.
Well, there's one of the pastors is going to be doing a thing on staff relationship with the council.
That's Father George Kane.
Yes. And can I tell you,
Pastor Emeritus.
Definitely. That often is a big issue that happens. There's another one on how do we form a council, because there are some parishes that have either stopped having a council or just starting a council or whatever. So how do you do that? In a multicultural, the council that's doing it's a multicultural parish. Mm-hmm. And they've had to weather that part of it. There's a lot of that. We have a lot of multicultural parishes.
Is there any, from where you sit, do parish council members stay for long periods? There's terms, right?
We really encourage like a three-year
term. A three-year term.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is good because then it encourages new blood, new perspectives. And
definitely.
You know.
And change your, you know, the officers. They can't be the same officers.
Well, I think it's also important, as we mentioned off the air before the came back to the last segment here, is the difference of the ages to get young people, middle age, older, because the people who've been in the parish 20, 30, 40 years, they are your wisdom figures. They know the history. They know that they've seen the changes. But again, the new people, you know, people like a Dominic, you know, 21, 22 years old, 25. We need that new vision and new thinking. So we can sometimes get into a rut. And I think one of the things I never like to hear is, well, we can't do it because it's never been done that way.
And, you know,
and that really can upset me and say, I mean, you don't change for the sake of change. But the great line is, you know, we are truly creatures of habit. And the wonderful line is, the only person who really welcomes change is a wet baby. And we don't like change.
Everybody's for change, Father, until it affects me.
Exactly. That's right. You're going to say something, I'll add something.
Well, I was going to say, you know, technology is also a big factor in this workshop. I mentioned earlier that one of the sessions for teens is, what would Jesus Facebook? But there's another session, digitally speaking, ministering with iGenerationers. And another one, the vocations app. There's a special app just for vocations. So technology is being embedded in this whole program this year for, I believe, the very first time, recognizing that this is how the new generation and many of us in the older generations are communicating.
Dominic, I'd be curious, have you thought a lot about that, about how your generation and generations after are going to be communicating, spreading the faith, building community, given all the stuff that's out there?
I'll be on a panel discussion workshop at Parish Leadership Day on intergenerational communication. Mm-hmm. I'll be on a panel with a senior citizen, a middle-aged man, and then a high school teen. And we'll be discussing that exactly.
Great story in the paper this morning. I don't know if any of you have seen it, how young people are migrating away from Facebook as their parents get on it.
That's right. They're going to Twitter.
They're going to Twitter.
And we're going to be talking about Twitter too. But, you know, there's an important thing. You know, we mentioned that Dominic's on a program. Almost every one of these programs, the ones that are for youth, are being run by youth. The presenters are all youth. And that's another important thing, that it's not going to be adults talking
to
youth.
Young people.
It's going to be young people talking to each other.
Young people to each other.
Absolutely.
In the last minute, Rita, give us a phone number people could call to learn more about Parish Leadership Day.
The phone number, 312-534-8364.
That number once again.
312-534-8364.
And how about a web?
The web would be it's www.archchicago.org.
And then is there a link
and
on
then
Parish
on there,
Day?
There'll be FaceBase. Yeah, and then you look for consuls, the office for consuls.
Can't let this program end without mentioning my dear friend Pat McGrath, Father Pat McGrath, who's going to be the homilist for the Mass with the Cardinal at the end of the day. He is a phenomenal speaker, if you've never heard him before.
Outstanding speaker.
That's worth the price of admission alone.
Alone. And really so, again, it's on Saturday, February 18th. Doors open about, 8 o'clock in the morning, Rita?
Actually, 6:45 a.m. is registration.
Whoa, Dominic, get up early that day. Okay, buddy.
I'm already up by then for prayer anyway.
Good for you. Well, great answer. Great answer.
The program starts at 8 and goes right through with the Mass at 4 o'clock.
And again, it's at Lowell Academy up in Wilmette. The easiest way would be probably Eden's Expressway. Get off at Lake Street coming from the south going north. And if you're coming north, south.
Same street.
Get off of Lake Street there.
It's
okay.
Just west of Lake.
And okay, I want to thank in a wonderful way our guest, Rita Kattner, the director of the Office of Councils, Bill Attia, a member of the PR Committee for Parish Leadership Day and a member of St. Catherine Labouré in Glenview, and Dominic Clemente, a senior at St. Joseph College Seminary of Loyola University. And Dominic, know that our prayers are with you
as
you make that decision from the college seminary to the major theologate.
And
hopefully then 4 years from now or 4.5 years from now, ordained to the priesthood.
May 2016.
God bless you. So thank you, Rita, Bill, and Dominic.
Thank
you. And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Madjars. We'll be back right after a break. And do not touch that dial.
If someone close to us begins to talk about their childhood sexual abuse, many of us don't know how to respond. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry is offering a one-day workshop for family and friends of victim survivors of childhood sexual abuse. A licensed clinical social worker will lead the program that will be offered on Saturday, February 4th. For more information, call Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268. That's Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I think Michael May, the engineer, turned off your microphone, Wayne.
Did you?
I'm very happy to
hear
that.
That's a cruel trick, Michael.
Michael, thank you.
It's the first time I'd ever heard, you know, Susan and you both are tapping your hands to the music, and I never thought of that as a dance song before or something to tap one's feet to, but maybe reboot and try it again. Maybe we can just play the music
play
for
that
half
opening,
hour, Michael.
Play that opening again, Michael. Good. Yeah. Get into the beat there, Wayne.
It could work.
You could listen up a little.
Good.
By the way, this Wednesday, what happened a year ago, February 1st.
The big snowfall.
The blizzard of 11.
That's right. That's right. That was
20
quite a blizzard.
Inches of snow.
We closed for the first time in 27 years, the university.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And the thing, ironically, is that the...
I came to work, but those others...
The weatherman called it exactly to the T. When it would start,
right.
The amount of snow. So that's 1 year ago, and I was talking tomorrow, 55 degrees and no snow this week.
Take it.
So second half of the program, Susan Podelic, Director of Pilgrimage Ministry at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, and one of the presenters of the Shrine's Winter Spirituality Series, Connecting Body, Mind, and Spirit. Susan holds a Master of Divinity degree from Catholic Theological Union and leads retreats and workshops on praying with body and soul. Susan is also a liturgical dancer, actress, and singer, and has a BA in theater from Loyola University, Wayne.
Imagine that.
Wow, that's amazing. Susan Podelic, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thanks so much for having me.
Susan, what are you doing in your spare time?
In my spare time? I lead workshops in storytelling and movement and helping people just be creative with the body and our minds and kind of remind people how imaginative we are and it's really
That's
lots
terrific.
Of fun. Yeah.
How does what you do, before we get into the meat of the program, how does what you do, how has it been affected over the, because you were on the program before, right?
Yes.
A couple of years
ago
or so. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine with the way we run our lives today, not that it's much different from 2 years ago, but stress levels and work levels and communication and the fact that, you know, stand on any, ride any CTA bus, stand on any corner and look at anybody, and who doesn't have a BlackBerry and it's communicating on every waking moment.
I don't.
With the exception of Father Greg. Every waking moment, we're kind of plugged in to what's going on around us and others. Has that reality affected a lot of what you do, how you do it, and the demand for what you do, or not?
Well, I think it's helped raise awareness, actually, of the need to slow down and to be really unplugged for a little bit of our day, because it's just so important that we take the time to be with ourselves. Many times with all these communication devices, we have the illusion that we are plugged in and we're busy, doing, but we're really human beings. And when we take the time, even if it's a small amount of time, to just slow down and be and just connect with our own selves, that not only enhances our everyday life, but it helps us in our relationships.
How do you get to that point? I mean, you know, so many people say, I'll come, but I have to bring my BlackBerry with me, or I'll participate.
Yeah.
Breaking through that initial barrier of surrendering to the fact that you are a body, a mind, a soul, a spirit, and being able to carve out some time to say, I'm going to spend this time doing this for me, not for anybody else, but for me.
Yeah. Well, it's important to be able to take a look at what priorities are. And if we find that we're just running all the time and our mind never stops, and if it's difficult to sleep at night because the mind is just running and running, then we really do need to take even, 5 minutes of your day. If you spend 5 minutes of your day in silence and just breathing deeply and paying attention to how your body is feeling, it brings a sense of peace and calmness that can affect us throughout the rest of the day.
You know, earlier you said, Susan, about us being human beings.
Yeah.
That sense of being.
Being,
that's
right.
Why I sometimes think we should be called human doings.
And that's
We're
what
always
it's come to.
Doing, and we've lost that sense of being. And I once had this conversation, because Wayne and I are great friends. We get many discussions. Is because of technology today, the cell phone, the BlackBerry, the iPad 2, I'm not into any of this stuff except the cell phone, is do you realize that at any moment, people expect to get us now?
Yes.
In the old days, you'd call the house, wouldn't even leave a message. There were no machines. I'll call back. But now we live in an instant society where employers expect to get a hold of their employees now. Even on vacation, we are always available now. So I know Wayne and I have had this discussion. When you go out of state, different part of the country, different part of the world, we feel lost when we're out of a cell zone. You go into the mountains, you go into the Grand Canyon area, and your cell phone, you're now in search mode. People feel lost. I don't have my cell phone. So that sense, what you're really talking about, Susan, the whole thing we'll be talking about today is that need to slow down,
right?
Even for a few minutes a day. So then what is happening with this beautiful workshop you're presenting and all that you are doing?
Well, this is part of a winter spirituality series at the Shrine, which is something we've been doing for the past few years. And it's a look at different ways in which, especially in which we pray. And there are many ways to pray. So the Winter Spirituality Series offers a program on a Saturday afternoon once a month in January, February, and March. For example, last year we did a focus on centering prayer and Lectio Divina and praying with the body. And so this year, when I was speaking with our rector of the Shrine, Father Richard Fragomini, about possibilities for the Winter Spirituality Series 2012, he said, why don't we take a look at yoga? And he's very aware of, the physical and mental benefits of yoga and how it interfaces with our own Christian spirituality. And
how does yoga interface with our own Christian spirituality?
Well, what is really astounding about yoga. Yoga is, first of all, is a practice that people of many different religions do. there are Buddhists and Hindus and Jews and Christians and people of no religion who do yoga. So it's a set of practices and some beliefs that come with that.
But is it safe to say that when most folks hear the word yoga, they think of Buddhism? I mean, is that a fair statement or not?
Some do. Also is connected to Hinduism.
Okay.
And the development of the spiritual aspect of that is a little different than our understanding of God in Christianity. But the physical aspect of it is something that is done by people across religions because of several things. One of that is the physical benefit. That's been well documented over many years. The physical benefits of doing yoga go way beyond just being able, you know, to get in these different poses. They're called postures. And not only do they stretch the body, but they help with the flow of air, our intake of oxygen, the flow of blood. They massage our heart. These postures massage our internal organs. And after a few minutes of doing yoga, what really happens is it not only quiets the body, but it helps to calm the mind. And when we get to that point, and in yoga classes usually end with a period of meditation. And when we do that meditation with a sense of our Christian faith, it brings us right into a place of calmness and attention that we really need in prayer.
Susan, talk about in our lives, in our society, the incredible amount of stress every day in our lives. Because you were talking, you know, when I've gotten away to relax for a little bit, to get away for a couple of days, is I find when my body starts unwinding, I get very tired. And knowing that the pace I keep back at home, I wonder what I'm sometimes doing to the body with stress that you don't even realize what you're doing. Then when you do take the time to slow, to calm, it physically changes your body, but we keep punishing our body with the stress of our lives, you know, for people paying the bills, raising the children, will I have a job tomorrow, the day in and day out. Talk about stress for a minute.
Sure. I mean, this is something that so many of us experience. And I think even in the past few years, I hear so many people say, oh, everything's moving so fast. And when we move at that pace, we forget the wisdom of our bodies. And when you mentioned about, you know, when you take the time to slow down, you realize how tired you are. And that's wisdom. That's body wisdom saying, pay attention. You know, when we take the time to slow down, and that is to unplug ourselves to say, okay, you know, for the next 20 minutes, I'm not going to look at email. I'll turn my phone off. It's okay for this period of time. We begin to realize how much we need to stay connected to this internal wisdom that's telling us, sleep, slow down, pay attention, because it's all about attention. And when we feel we're moving so fast, we're very scattered. And we're responding quickly to everything without necessarily going in depth. And so we lose that connection to our deeper self.
It's not as easy, though, as saying either you're on or you're off. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a transition. There's a period, and then there's I would imagine a recognition of self, that this state of being relaxed, of being unplugged, is a necessary part of your life. Style of your life cycle, so to speak.
And it's an important part of our faith life, our prayer life, I think, because if we're so scattered, it's hard to stay with attention in prayer.
You know, one of the best lines I ever read, the line goes like this: there is more to life than increasing its speed.
Yes.
You know, we sometimes live in a society, the more I do, the more productive I become, the better person I am. And that since we live in a society that says about doing and accomplishing and this, that there is more to life than increasing speed, but the value to slow down, and as you said, Susan, to come to attention, a calmness, to know from within. But how many people do I know who go to bed at night, the radio or TV is on? And the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is they check email. even before they brush
their
teeth.
Well, or people who do it in the middle of the night. There was a great study that was released just a few weeks ago, I think you may have seen it, about teens, now young adults, who actually are, in effect, it used to be sleepwalking, now it's like sleep texting, where you don't even realize that you're doing it, but you're getting up in the middle of the night and you've got your electronic mobile device next to your bed and you look at it and you may even respond to something that you don't remember in the morning that you've done. That's just remarkable. And talk about being able to get quality rest. And turn out and turn off or slow down. There are some people that probably don't even do that while they're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Yeah. We need to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Madjars. Our guest is Susan Podelic, who is Director of Pilgrimage Ministry at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. You may have a question for Susan regarding calming down.
I have to check my BlackBerry. I'll be during the break.
We'll be back right after this break. Don't go away.
Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invites you to join us for an evening of live entertainment, fine food, fabulous cars, and fantastic friends at First Look for Charity. This exclusive black tie preview to the Chicago Auto Show will take place at McCormick Place on Thursday, February 9th from 5:30 to 10:30 p.m. Proceeds go to benefit our Neighbors in Need Fund, supporting emergency services, and maternity and adoption programs. Register today by calling 312-948-6797 or visiting catholiccharities.net/firstlook.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM on a Monday morning. Susan Podelic is our guest. She is the Director of Pilgrimage Ministry at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii. And in the throes of a workshop that actually began on January 21st and continues now on February 25th out at the Shrine, a series of Saturday workshops. The next one coming up actually on the 25th is Wisdom of the Body, Yoga, and Christian Perspectives. We probably touched on some of the themes or topics that that this is going to be all about on the 25th earlier. But you mentioned before the break the importance of this and the role this plays in prayer, in being able to center oneself and being able to really focus and have a an enhanced, meaningful prayer life. Talk a little bit more about how an experience like this and being able to start to learn, I won't say learn, but start to learn how to relax and pull out of the day-to-day pressures that we all have can help one's prayer life.
Well, it's good to take a look at sometimes what happens when we do take time out to pray. I know for myself, if I'm if there's a lot of tension in my body or I'm feeling uncomfortable and I'm trying to focus my mind on prayer, that becomes more difficult. And I find that I often have monkey mind, the mind is just all over the place. And it takes quite a good amount of time and effort to calm that down. And when I am able to do that and really have a more focused, attentive place in my prayer, then my quality of prayer and in my life is greatly enhanced. And part of the reason that we look at the body, and especially doing this particular series, series in yoga, is that when we do learn to stretch the body and give, you know, respect the body and what it's telling us. If it's tight and it needs to relax, then spend a little time doing that.
Now, so let me ask you this question. You hit on this. Two parts. Number one is, how do you handle distraction when you are trying to meditate and therefore focus? And number two, I remember when I was young, I'll be 59 next month. When I was young, I played sports, got banged up, you came back from injuries. And now that I'm pushing 59, honest to God, the aches and pains of the body, things not sometimes working well, and things I never thought about when I was younger. And, you know, all of a sudden I find conversation with my friends regarding health, things I never talk about before. So just the whole aging process. Mm-hmm. So number one, how do you handle distraction mm-hmm. in meditation and regarding being attuned to the body, but knowing that the body is aging and the aches and pains, how do you handle that part?
Yeah. Well, with distractions, this is something that everyone deals with in so many different ways. But when we are at prayer or meditation and these things happen, first, I think it's important to accept the fact that that distraction is there, that you're hearing something. That,
like my phone going off.
Like your
off
phone
right
going
now.
Off right now. Right. So we don't try to push it away or not think about it or try to get to that incredible place of perfect silence, because there really is no such thing. We say, ah, you know, there's a car horn beeping out. Okay, it's there, and go on. So there's a certain amount of acceptance of where you are at and what you are doing, and releasing that, knowing it's there, and focusing your attention elsewhere. And two, I think with the body, especially as we age, you know, it makes its demands known on us, doesn't it? And we do feel lots, many more aches and pains, and I know I certainly do. And
but you're still 29, Susan.
Oh, bless you.
You're way too young. What are you talking about?
Well, I think that part of this is really respecting the body. You know, with our Christian faith, we believe in an incarnation of God in Jesus. And that has brought a sense of dignity and respect for the human body. And I think so many times, you know, we just think of it maybe as a tool or a machine, and without giving it the honor and respect. And we do need to pay attention to what we eat. We need to pay attention to how much we sleep, how much exercise. All of these things are important for our health, but it's also respecting the body and the dignity of this body, because God chose to become human.
Do you think overall that people take care of themselves or not? I don't mean to have such a broad, arranged question, but you talk about proper eating, proper sleeping, mm-hmm. proper exercise.
Yeah.
Do you think overall people do that well, or are we flunking?
I think it's a great challenge, and we know the level of, for example, of obesity in this country is over 30%, and that's huge. And so there's something we're missing. And there's more that we need to do. And I think, you know, taking ourselves and our faith seriously about the holiness of the body is something that we could all focus more on, and that would not only improve our physical life, but that enhances our prayer life as well. Because as Christians, we're very, and Catholics in particular, we're very embodied prayers with postures and gestures.
You know, I'm not sure if this is completely relevant to what you're talking about, but it reminds me of when you were talking earlier about you know, the sirens and how the body reacts and distractions, things like that. I recall, and you know the story, I recalled a number of years ago, you know, I'm a city guy, grew up in the city, have lived in the downtown area now for over 30 years, and especially in the summertime when the weather's nice, you open the windows and there's fire trucks and sirens and ambulances and apparently, you know, and periodically someone going down the street yelling and screaming and everything else. I find that totally therapeutic. It's really relaxing. So when I'm away somewhere in the middle of nowhere, when it's dead silence at night, I'm absolutely miserable and can't even get to sleep.
You know,
and
Susan, about 15 years ago, Wayne and I went up to Minocqua for 4 days, and talk about absolute quiet. Mm-hmm. I remember the first morning, you know, Wayne has his bedroom, I'm on the other side of the house there, my place. I got up and said, I had a wonderful night's sleep. It was so peaceful.
I was miserable.
I said, Wayne, how'd you sleep? He said, awful.
I said, awful.
He said, it was too quiet.
Next day we went to town, I had to just get a radio to turn on white noise, anything yeah. that would just be out there.
Yeah, I think we're all different in that respect, and some people do find a certain level of comfort in the background yeah. noise.
Tell us, Susan, who tell us about the people that attend. You've had one of these workshops. You've got mm-hmm. two more coming up.
Yes.
Demographics, backgrounds. I mean, give us a sense of for somebody who may be out there saying, gee, I wonder if this is for me.
Right.
Who's going to be along for the ride?
Yeah. Well, in our first workshop, we had most people are Christians who are already practicing yoga. We asked that everybody bring their own yoga mat, and they did, and it was very interesting. They came to get a fuller and deeper understanding of what they are doing as a Christian practice with yoga. We had some people who came who are yoga students and have been studying yoga for quite some time. They said to me, one of them said to me afterwards, you know, I've heard about Jesus many times in my yoga class, but I didn't know anything about him from a Christian perspective, and that's why I'm here. And I really enjoyed this, and I'll be back.
And now I know your second one coming up on February 25th, Wisdom of the Body, Yoga and Christian Perspectives. Mm-hmm. On March 24th, Be Still and Know, Contemplative Prayer and Meditation. Say right. something about both.
Well, in February, we're going to look at the particular practices, for example, in yoga with physical postures and breathing techniques and relaxation and meditation for calming the mind and the body, and how talk about how that supports a meditative practice. From the Christian side, especially from the Catholics, we will look at what postures and gestures we already do. These are so second nature to us. You know, we come to Mass, we stand, we sit, we kneel, we process, our bodies are actively engaged. With gestures, we make the sign of the cross in many different ways. So we will look at all of these as the wisdom of using the full body at prayer. And in March, Be Still and Know, with Contemplative Prayer and Meditation, we'll take a look at what Christian contemplative prayer or centering prayer is about, how we're always grounded in our faith in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, and also look at meditative techniques from yoga, which are slightly different, but it will be important for Christians to learn that when we do yoga as Christians, it is a Christian practice.
Now, Susan, since we only have about another minute, mm-hmm. regarding February 25th and March 24th, mm-hmm. where can people learn more about this? Give us a phone number.
Our phone number at the Shrine is 312-421-3757.
That number once again?
312-421-3757.
And how about a web?
We are at OurLadyOfPompeii.org.
OurLadyOfPompeii.org.
Right.
And the thing is, it's open to everyone.
Yes.
And the cost of these workshops?
These workshops have no cost.
Wow.
They are
free
to
you. Can't beat that price, Wayne.
We're happy to accept donations. And also, if people really would like to know more about yoga as a Christian practice, you can look at some of the work of Father Thomas Ryan, who is a Paulist priest and a certified yoga instructor. He's done much work on yoga prayer, and he's written books and DVDs.
Father Thomas Ryan.
And if these days dates don't work, you also have yoga sessions on Saturdays at the Shrine as well.
Yes, right? we're doing straight yoga classes right. on Saturday mornings.
Okay, I want to thank in a very special way Susan Podelic, who is Director of Pilgrimage Ministry at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii and one of the presenters of the Shrine's Winter Spirituality Series, Connecting Body, Mind, and Soul, one in February, one in March. So thank you, Susan. Keep up your wonderful ministry and all the great work you do. This has been a great half hour. Wayne, always great having...
I only checked my email twice.
Wayne Madjars as co-host. Always great to be
nice
with
to
Wayne.
And
thanks so much.
And an excellent job with our producer, Diane Dunnigan, who did a great job producing today's program, and to our excellent, wonderful engineer, Michael May. To all, God bless, and have a great week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.